better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
So since it's a recruiting Thursday, and Chad Morris and his football team and football staff is always recruiting, they're always out recruiting, trying to recruit, trying to build the 2020 recruiting class to try to get it to at least to the point to where it can have a similar success to what the 2019 class had. The question that I have, and this is something I'll ask Richard about later as well when we talk more in-depthly about recruiting, is if you're Chad Morris and this staff, and you have a visit set up with a big-time five-star recruit that has a little bit of interest in you, but also has offers to Alabama and LSU and Georgia, Florida, Texas, Ohio State, essentially to anywhere he wants to go, and you walk into his living room, what are you pitching to that recruit about your school, your program, your team? That's going to stand out and say, this is why you need to come here instead of those other big-time schools that are undefeated, winning championships. This is why you need to come here.
You don't need a place to store all your rings when you come to Arkansas. You know,
what an advantage.
No need to have a gun safe when you come here, you know, to keep all your jewelry in, all your championship rings.
Worth it right there.
No, opportunity, man. You come here, you've got the opportunity to play right away. You got the opportunity to get on the field and make an impact your freshman year. And I know Alabama's playing some young freshmen. It's a little bit different deal at Alabama and the type of freshmen they're getting. It's really an anomaly. It's not usual for what Alabama is doing this year. But I'm interested to see how things just change across the landscape. We're seeing it far more in basketball than we are in football. But this transfer portal is going to really, I think, change some things. I'm interested to see the impact it has over the next year or two in football. But I think that the pitch is going to be for Chad Morris, and has been, is the opportunity to come here and have an impact and get playing time and really get the most out of your 4 years of eligibility here at Arkansas.
To me, that's probably the most logical answer.
And that sounds, it's very generic.
Yeah.
But sometimes the most obvious answer is the correct one.
Mm-hmm. Because I think this is how it is with coaching in general, and it should, at least it should be this way, and if it's not, it's kind of worrisome. Anytime a new coach comes into a new program, like Chad Morris did, like Brett Bielema did, like Bobby Petrino did, you just use those examples in previous Arkansas history. When were those coaches' best recruiting classes?
Early.
It was early.
Always early.
When Brett Bielema walked in, I mean, he got Alex Collins. He went and got Denver Kirkland. He got Hunter Henry. I mean,
Dan Skipper, just
a loaded recruiting class in the early going. Same thing with Petrino. In fact, Petrino had the highest rated recruiting class that Arkansas has had when he went out and got Tyler Wilson, Joe Adams, Jarius Wright, Dennis Johnson, that whole crew. Now, towards the end, recruiting, I'm not saying it was awful, but it's definitely was not consistent across the board where you were having a top 20 class and having all these players come in. And it might be that same way with Chad Morris, where that 2019 recruiting class was his biggest and best one. He's obviously still got to continue to, you can't have low recruiting classes, but if you go from only, I guess this past year they had about 22nd, somewhere ranked there, but if you go to 27th, that's not the biggest deal in the world, or 28th. But it's a matter of, when you come in, there's always that newness. There's always that new energy that you can use. And then that gets the attention of some players, too, where they see all these coaches and all that. But when a new coach walks in, they have a confidence. They have something that's like, hey, man, you could be a part of something new, something great. You could be the original one. You can be the one that's laid the foundation and started it all. I think that can resonate with some people.
Yeah. I'll be interested to see. I think part of Bielema's recruiting decrease, Not it wasn't just losing, it was the fact that his staff kept turning over. He kept losing guys. And when you don't have stability with your staff, you lose those relationships and all the momentum you've built with players and their families and their coaches and their schools, and you got to start over in certain places. I'll be interested to see what happens at the end of this year if the wins don't total what they should in Chad Morris's mind, and that whether that's four or five, and whether his hand is forced to make changes, and how that affects recruiting. You know, you may bring some dynamo in that can get on some kids early, and well, not early, but late in the process, and early for the next years, and that could make a difference, or it could make a difference both ways. One of the problems Bielema had, though, was the staff kept changing, man. And you can't win in recruiting, I don't think, consistently doing that. Morris didn't have changes last year. That's going to help again this year. What happens, though, if his hand is forced and he has to make some staff changes this year? What kind of impact does that have on recruiting? It's got to have some.
Well, because with Brad Bielema, too, it wasn't even just, which I agree, changing staff hurt, but it was also when you had the major drop-off in staff where you go from Sam Pittman to Kurt Anderson. Like, the significant where it was like someone who wasn't even close to the same level as the assistant coaches you had. I mean, you went from Randy Shannon to Vernon Hargraves. Well,
but part of being a great coach is being a great recruiter.
Correct. That's, absolutely.
That's, I think, more than 50% of the job.
That's right. And I completely agree with you. Because right now, Arkansas is sitting with 15 commits for the 2020 class. Mm-hmm. According to 247 Sports, they are sitting at 28th in the country, 12th in the SEC. And that's just the way it's going to be, folks. It's how it's always going to be. But they have a few commits, and they're on a few other ones that they're trying to get there, because they obviously have a lot of needs, especially on the offensive line, for instance, the linebacker position. They have a lot of needs there. So they're still recruiting. They're still trying to make it happen. But it's also a matter of, too, when you had such a solid recruiting class last year, and we've brought this up many times, and I know we've had callers that's brought it up many times, the amount of freshmen, young players that are on this Razorback football team, you can't necessarily go and walk into these kids' living room and expect them to buy. It's like, oh, no, it's going to be opportunity, playing time. Well, yeah, okay, you could be, but at the same time, you have so many young players. If I'm not up to the task of how my maturity or my development of my body or whatever the reason may be this year or even next year, just because the guy is a couple years older than me and ahead of me, it may be year three before I see the field. Yeah. And to a lot of big-time freshmen who are getting these offers from, it's like, do I want to be a perennial backup on an average team, or do I want to be a perennial backup on a championship-type team?
So if it's not opportunity to come in and play and get playing time right away, be on the field, have an impact, what is it? Okay, if that's your number one thing, what's your number two thing?
Mm-hmm. And that's my ultimate question. What are you doing?
Well, you can say facilities. You can say academic opportunity.
Everybody's got these, man.
I mean, Arkansas's got good facilities. I'm not saying they don't. I'm just saying everybody else does, too.
Yeah. Especially in the SEC.
Right. I mean, so the programs you're recruiting against at Arkansas, well, they got indoor workout and, you know, all of – they got everything you got, mm-hmm. you know. Yours may be a little nicer here, and theirs may be a little nicer over there. I think one thing Arkansas's got that building where you can go eat anytime you want, and their academic center that might be a little nicer than everybody else's.
Yeah.
But, you know, all in all, those things to me are a wash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that those get blown way out of proportion. It's not as important as it was 10, 15 years ago.
The thing you got to do, and I don't know how you do this, you got to make it the cool place to be. You got to make Fayetteville, Arkansas, the thing you don't want to be left out on. I mean, what do y'all call it, Ty? FOMO? The fear of missing out? You don't want to, that's the thing you got to create, is some kind of sense of urgency that, man, I got to get to Arkansas. And there's some kind of fear that you're going to miss out on something if you're not a Razorback. And I don't know how Chad Morris goes about creating that, but I can tell you this, there's kids that have some FOMO if they don't go to Alabama. There's some kids that have some FOMO if they don't go to Georgia right now. And it's not just winning. It's part of being around the culture of that program. There's some FOMO right now, I think, starting to get created, a little mojo right now with LSU. How do you create a little bit of that? And you know, and I know it starts with winning, but you got to figure out how to create a little bit of that, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was the element that I've said for a long time, that if you can't go into a kid's living room and say, here's my championship rings and here's how many players I put in the NFL. If you can't do that, you have to get creative and you have to find some other element to do.
Here's what I can't figure out, here's what I can't tie together. Maybe you can help me with this. You drive around that campus and just look at the students that come out of, I mean, there is tons of Texas plates.
Mm-hmm.
the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville is like for the kids in the Dallas metro area and kids that are looking to go to school somewhere, they choose Fayetteville.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that they've made a deal where you can get, what, in-state tuition if you go there. Am I right about that?
That's right. Makes it significantly cheaper than any big school in Texas.
Right. So it is a place, but they want to get out of state and kind of get off on their own and, you know, be out underneath mom and dad's wing or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And it's not too far away.
Or for whatever the deal is. Yeah. Be home in 6 hours, 5 hours, whatever. So if it's the choice for people to go for their academics, why can't we get that total connection? I think Chad Morris is working on that. Obviously, they're heavily recruiting the same geographic area. But you got to make that same connection somehow as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to go to Fayetteville because that's where all my high school buddies are going. I want to go to Fayetteville because that's where my girlfriend's going. I want to go to Fayetteville because, you know, you can keep just making up, filling in the blank. I mean, Texas is one of the primary recruiting areas for the university as a whole, not just athletics, but as a whole. So there's something there. They just got to capitalize on that more.
Mm-hmm. Because, listen, everybody's going into the state of Texas trying to get football players. I mean, it's a recruiting hotbed. Alabama's going there. LSU's going there. Oklahoma's. Every big school is going into Texas to try to get kids. So it's not like it's just you versus the Texas schools there. I mean, that's what makes it difficult. But you have to stand out somehow. You have to be able to stand out from the rest of those schools. And again, if you can't walk in and flash some championship rings or have a list of all the guys that have gotten into the NFL that played for you, because to me, those are the two biggest factors in why a kid wants to go to a certain school, especially big-time kids. If you can put them in the NFL and if you can win championships, that's the two things that they want more than anything. So if you can't do that, if you can't prove that yet, if you're a young coach, you have to get creative. Now it's a matter of going into Texas and being able to find some sort of creativity that can have you stand out. Making it the cool place to be is one way to do it. But it's also about how do you execute that plan? How do you make Arkansas the cool place to be? That's key.
Yeah. Well, read JT and Hot Springs text there.
You can't read it?
Well, I can read it. I can read it.
Put all your readers there.
No, I can read. Now you popped it up. He said, we got to get kids from Texas that Oklahoma State, TCU, Nebraska, Kansas State are recruiting as well. That's exactly right.
Yep.
You got to beat those Big 12 schools out. I just couldn't see the whole thing. I just didn't want to misrepresent it. That's exactly right is when you're going up against Oklahoma State, for a four-star kid, you got to win that kid over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know how much Nebraska is going down to Texas, but all those other Big 12 schools, absolutely. You got to beat those guys out. You got to find kids in Texas that want to play in the SEC that can't get into A&M, that they're not on A&M's radar for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And Texas doesn't want them, and they have a desire to play in the Southeastern Conference.
Yep.
And there's still, I mean, there's just plenty of good kids there.
Mm-hmm. And I think and this could be a side note of it, and I also think that you need to utilize the transfer portal as much as possible when kids are leaving SEC schools or Texas schools too.
Listen, unless they just grew up an Aggie fan, though, unless their grandfather went there and their dad went there and their mom went there and all that, why? I can't see the draw, but maybe I'm just blinded by being raised in Arkansas. I don't see it.
Hey,
so if you didn't grow up, I mean, now maybe if you're raised there, that's you know, you're part of the 12th man or whatever. I get it. You know, that's your school. Okay, I understand that. But if you want to play in the SEC, you know, if you're that good, I don't know why you. If you're from Texas, why you'd choose A&M either? You might not choose Arkansas, but why the hell would you choose A&M?
Wouldn't call them the cool school to go to,
right?
Johnny Manziel is the only thing about cool, quote-unquote cool, about that school.
If you're that good, you probably have an opportunity to go to LSU or go to Alabama or go somewhere else. Why the hell would you go to A&M?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that out.
Unless that's your school. I mean, then I get it.
Yeah. Because they can't exactly go in and flash their championships to you or anything like that. It's just they haven't been as relevant as what they think they are.
Right.
So I don't know how, and I don't know why, but – you know, those are the guys that Arkansas has got to start beating out and start getting them to come to Fayetteville, for sure. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Skip is in Bella Vista. What's going on, Skip?
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good, man. How about you?
I think I'm doing okay. I think the biggest problem that I see is, you know, used to the Razorbacks had a name of, you know, being a winning team. They had a name coach that people knew. And we don't have either of those anymore. I mean, when we had Bobby Petrino, kids knew who Bobby Petrino was. Most of them don't know who Chad Morris is. Now, I talked to a guy yesterday that was from Dallas, a doctor, and he was asking about Chad Morris, if he knew him. He said, yeah. I said, well, what'd you think of him when he was down there? He said, not much. That was his answer. I didn't go into it anymore, but he did say he thought SMU was better now, but they didn't have a Chad Morris. Well, I don't know if that's true or not, because I think a lot of the players he recruited, but that's somebody from down there, and that's what he thinks. So I wonder if the other people think the same thing.
Well, I mean, I think that there's – listen, if you look at other coaches, too, there's a lot of people that knew Brett Bielema. I mean, everybody knew who Brett Bielema was in college football.
Didn't know how to say his name, but they knew who he was.
Yeah, didn't know how to pronounce his last name, but – you know, that didn't resonate with people, or at least didn't lead to great recruiting or to where it helped out Arkansas in any way. I think that you have to make a name for yourself. And Chad Morris hasn't been around as a head coach, especially long enough, and had the success to go along with it to be a household name or to be a name coach in general. He hasn't been around, and he hasn't won enough. That's just the fact of the matter.
Well, if you're a guy like Nick Saban or Gus Malzahn or one of these other guys that has a name, it's a lot easier. You know, Nick Saban walks in there and knows offensive kid. You know, their eyes get big. They see Nick Saban, you know, and they're going to go there. It's just the facts. You know, it's just the way it's working right now.
Yeah, but Skip, at one point, nobody knew who Gus Malzahn was. Nobody knew who Nick Saban was at one point when they first started getting their college career going.
You start winning and everybody knows who you are.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, in the SEC, though, guys, in the SEC, you're up against that with almost every team. You know, every team's going to...
It's the hardest proving grounds in all of sports, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's going to be... It's not an overnight fix. I know our fans are impatient. They got a right to feel that way, but... It's more than a 2-year fix, I'm afraid. It might take 3, 4, maybe 5 years to get it turned around. I don't know. Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen. It's not an overnight deal for sure. We've seen that.
You know, and what is turned around? Because to me, turned around is not 10. 10's like the 10 wins is like the finished product. That's not turned around. Turned around is like
bowl game.
Well, to me, turned around is consecutive 7-plus win seasons.
It's fair.
At least 2 seasons in a row that you've done it twice in a row of 7 or more. Now we're turned around. 10's the finished product. They ain't winning 12 here.
No.
This guy ain't winning 12 here.
I don't know many people that would come in here and win 12.
He ain't winning 12.
Yeah.
He might win 10. But to me... To get it turned around. Turned around is you've won at least 7 back-to-back years. That's turned around.
Right.
Not 1 year, 2 years.
And appreciate the phone call, Skip, by the way. But also, too, it's – you talk about fans and their impatience. This has nothing to do with impatience of Razorback fans. Don't give me that. I'm going to stick up for the fans here. It's not impatience. It's losing to San Jose State.
Done 8 years of this, and then San Jose State. But let's go back to where it starts with UL Monroe in 2012.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like it's not like you're going out and people are getting impatient because you're not beating Bama. Yeah. It's people getting patient because you keep losing to terrible teams.
Yeah.
That's where the impatient comes in, and I don't have a problem with it at all.
Yeah. Hey, Metal Mart offers high quality prefabricated metal buildings, metal roofing, carports, and custom trim shops. They welcome all the contractors as well as the weekend do-it-yourselfers. Locations in Fort Smith, Mayflower, Jonesboro, Pine Bluff, and in Little Rock. They also have Metal Direct on Inmar Drive, 1 block off University behind Napa Auto Parts. Metal Mart, the right material for the right price.
Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Dom is in Greenwood. What's going on, Don?
Hey, guys. I just have one little thing on Chad. To be a coach, it's not really a coach. he's more an administrator. He's over so many other things. I think the guy is overwhelmed by that. I truly do. Now, whether he's a good coach on a high school level or SMU or whatever, SEC on top of that hill, I think he's in the water. I don't think he's a good administrator. And that's all I have right there. Whether he's a good coach, he's probably a great coach. But to be an SEC coach nowadays, you're not a coach. You're a boss. Mm-hmm. You got so many things going across your desk. And I think he's over his head. I just really do. He might be a great guy. He might be an excellent coach. Yep. But I don't think he's for us. Yep. That's all I got, guys. Y'all have a good day.
Don, I think that's a good call. And I think Chad Morse is still learning on the job what it is to be a head coach at this level.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't be with his resume at this point? You're right. A head coach is going to make 200 decisions a day, and probably 10 of them are really important.
Mm-hmm.
The rest, though, you still got to make. I mean, you got people coming and going in your office all the time, sending you texts, however you're communicating, wanting to know, what do you want to do about this?
Mm-hmm.
What time do you want to have this meeting? What time is dinner on this night?
Yeah.
And you're the guy that's got to decide.
Well, and this is just me throwing out a question. There could be a great example of this here recently, but name me the coach, last SEC coach, that never coached in the SEC before that came right in as a head coach and was successful.
And if you're not able to make those decisions, boom, 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 know what you want, you'll get mired down in decision-making.
Right.
But, Don, you're exactly right. You're a CEO, and you better have good people around you that can coach football, because you've got to run the business of Arkansas football or any SEC program.
But can you think of a coach that's not coached in the SEC at any point in time that comes in as a head coach and does well? And the main reason is because it's a different league.
Go beyond that. Has not been a head coach at the Power 5 level.
Yeah.
And come into the SEC.
I mean, listen, Gus Malzahn found a way. You know, he was not
a head coach at the Power 5. Well, he helped Gene Chizik.
Yeah, that's true. That's my point, is that he at least coached in the SEC, though.
He'd coached in the SEC. Now, Chad Morris had been an OC at Clemson.
Right.
That's pretty darn close.
But it's not the SEC, man.
I get it.
It's a different animal. It's a totally different animal. And that's my whole point, is that, you know, it's people like to make fun of the SEC and say there's SEC biases we have in our SEC update that we play, and people like to hate on it. But it's not a joke. Like, it's not just something that SEC fans put their chest down and say, yeah. It's a real thing. The SEC, it does mean more. It just means more, and it's a lot different for these coaches. You know what means a lot more to me? And that's Sassy's. I love me some Sassy's. I love me some barbecue, because it's barbecue season. You know how I know it's barbecue season? Because barbecue season is year-round. You can go over there and try the John Neighbor special of barbecue nachos with pulled pork and chicken. Just ask for it. We'll see what happens. I can't guarantee the response there, but still just ask for it nonetheless. You do some smoked tacos, some smoked wings, which are award-winning, and also some brisket tacos as well to close it out. Get you some catfish if you're not feeling some barbecue. Whatever your need is when it comes to food, for lunch and or dinner, head over to Sassy's with their two locations in Fayetteville, off of College and off of Weddington. Coming up next, we'll get to more of your phone calls and text messages and talk a little recruiting and continue our discussion. Also get into some audio from Chad Morris and his press conference yesterday as he met with the media. Stay with us, folks. Second hour of the Morning Rush coming up.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Go back to the Cherokee Casino hotline, 877-377-6963. We've been obviously talking a lot of football and a lot of recruiting here on Recruiting Thursday. Russell is in Harrison. What's going on, Russell?
Yeah, I had a question about the basketball team. I keep seeing these tweets thanking these different NBA teams for practices. I know they sent out one yesterday for the Warriors, and seen the Pelicans and the Thunder. And I just wonder if y'all knew anything about that. Are they coming in and actually practicing with the team? Is the coaches coming in and evaluating? I don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah, well, it's mainly just the part of the franchises and the staffs and some coaches coming in mainly to come just check it out and to see practices. But let's be honest about it, too. it is really just something to stand out on social media. They could be one representative from that organization, from the Pelicans or from the Warriors or whatever, that walks in and they're going to tweet out, hey, thanks for stopping by as we had this organization in. So it's mainly just a few coaches, and it's not really any players or anything like that, but they're just checking out practices.
It's for recruits to know they're going to get a look from NBA franchises if they come to Arkansas.
Gotcha.
That's really, I think that's about it.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call, Russell.
And for guys in the transfer portal to know that, hey, if you come to Arkansas, you know, there's going to be some guys that stop by our facility, and you know, you're going to get a fair look.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a smart thing, too, because that's what kids look at, and that's what they want. Let's keep it going with the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Rod is on I-40. What's going on, Rod?
Good morning. How you doing, John?
Pretty good, man. How about you?
Not bad. Tommy, our Cardinals played out of their minds last night.
Only needed one inning to put that one away.
I have never seen 10 runs in one inning, and apparently nobody else has either on a playoff game. That was quite the record.
Yeah. John's in disgust about it, but
yeah, I'm over it.
I've been loving that team since the 60s. That's okay. It's just another thing. But, I was thinking a while ago, dangerous when I do that. It should be illegal, but... you know, we know about Chavis. You know, I've known him, hell, he's my age, since the 60s. You know, he's been around since Tennessee, and we know Chad Morris. I know he comes from Clemson. I get that. He was offensive coordinator, but the one guy I don't know really anything about is Craddock. You got to fill me in on where he come from, what he did.
Well, Joe Craddock came with him from SMU. He was his offensive coordinator there, and he felt really good about his ability and his potential in developing offense and calling plays. Also played in college as well. So he just brought him from, he was one of the people he brought in from SMU.
I mean, I like to know something about people more than that.
Well, he's been with him for a while. I mean, it goes deeper than that. He worked with him even before then.
Yeah, so. He was a GA at Clemson back when Chad Morris was over there as well.
Oh, graduate assistant.
Yes.
I didn't know if he was really that into Chad Morris's offense or not. I know Chad was an offensive coordinator at Clemson. That's a whole different ball of wax. And I was just wondering how well they actually meshed on this level, because this level will tear you apart.
Yeah.
You better be tight, because other than that, there's going to be a lot of finger pointing and circular firing squad when it's all over.
Yeah. No, for sure.
To give you an idea, Joe Craddock went to work at Clemson in 2012. So they've essentially been working together at the college level since 2012, side by side.
I'm just curious because I just got that feeling that I said, oh, wait a minute. I know Chavis is running the defense. I know Chavis from the heart. And I thought, well, who the hell's Craddock? Mm-hmm. It's like, John Neighbors at Nachoville up there, you know, they don't know you, and I really don't know Craddock that well. And it kind of weirded me out for a minute. I thought, wait a minute, he's running my offense.
Yeah.
What's with that?
Yeah.
I kind of like to have somebody that, you know, vetted and has, like, experience of, like, a John Chavis, which, you know, we're not getting Pittman or anybody like that back. That's not going to happen. So, you know, I know we had offensive line issues, and there seemed to be some confusions on the play, and I just wondered how much on the same page they actually were.
Well, yeah, but I get it, and I appreciate your phone call as always, Rod. I mean, listen, it's just a matter of how coaches like to handle their offenses or like to handle their teams, because let's be honest, when Bobby Petrino had Paul Petrino as his offensive coordinator, or Garrick McGee, or whoever it was at those times, who was really the offensive coordinator? Mm-hmm. It was Bobby. Like, Bobby was the one that was doing it. It's just a matter of what type of role do you want those coaches to play? And when Chad Morris, knowing that he was a coordinator, he's an offensive-minded guy when he came in, some people were saying, well, Joe Craddock, yeah, he may be the OC, but it's really going to be Chad Morris's offense, and he's really going to be the one calling the plays. But as far as the roles go, you know, that's something that's still up in the air for sure. Let's keep it going on the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Russ is in Jonesboro. What's going on, Russ?
Hey, how you doing this morning? I got a couple of things I want to ask about.
Okay.
First thing is, this morning y'all kept bringing up, you know, the part about Morris. He's learning on the job. Everybody's talking about that. And my feeling on that is you don't come to Arkansas to learn on the job. You should already know how to coach that level of football to begin with. They shouldn't be hiring somebody that you feel like they couldn't do the job.
We're not talking about learning the coaching part. We're talking about learning the administrative part, learning all the other things that you just don't see at SMU or you don't see as an OC at Clemson. When you're in the big boss's chair in the SEC, it's just different. There's just more decisions to be made as the administrator of the program.
That's the part about hiring a coach without a athletic director. I think that was an issue they ran into. They didn't do their homework too well. And the other thing is Connor Vanhoever.
Connor Vanhoever.
Yeah, I know. I can't ever say it here. His situation is even though he's not eligible to play yet or he hasn't got released, is this game coming up against ULR, is that considered an actual game he can play? Is he eligible to play that game there, or is he had to sell that game? Is that considered an actual game too?
It's a good question.
Or when they consider it when they start playing Rice?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I don't know the answer to that. That's a good question because those first two are against UALR, and then I think it's Southwest Oklahoma. Those are exhibition games. They don't count. Yeah.
Yeah, they considered. Yeah, I wonder if he can play in those games.
Good question. I'll see if I can find.
Yeah, I'm looking it up for you right now to try to figure out because I want to say they can.
I think they can, but I don't. I'm not sure.
Yeah. So we'll have to look that up for you.
Good question.
Yeah, and we'll pass the message along on there. And going back to your first point, though, and first issue about the learning on the job and all that, you don't want to hear that, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, I understand. But we're not talking about he's learning X's and O's.
No.
He's learning how to put a practice plan together. That's not what we're saying. If you got in on the tail end of the conversation,
right? Being a coach at an SEC school is more than just the X's and O's and practice planning. I mean, it is. It goes along with the things that you don't even think about. Traveling the state, going to these clubs, talking with people, talking with boosters, those things like that, which most coaches hate and can't stand.
How much of the SMU fan base do you think extended outside of the Dallas-Fort Worth metro area?
Next to none.
Exactly. You know, I don't know, the Arkansas, you know, there's Razorback clubs in Dallas. You know, there's all sorts of events that, as the head coach, you got to go to Tulsa, Dallas, Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
There's Razorback clubs outside of this state you got to go to. SMU, they didn't have Mustang clubs or whatever, probably very, very, very rare. Probably you'd travel outside the state for an event like that at a school like that.
Mm-hmm. By the way, your question about the players and eligibility, according to the official website and their legislation, students must be certified as eligible prior to participating in an exhibition event.
Right,
student is charged a season of competition for participating in an exhibition competition. So there you have it.
There you go.
So you will not see Connor Vanhoever if he is ineligible playing in their exhibition game. But going back to that point, though, about Chad Morris and about learning on the job, you know, that's, you never want to hear it. You never want to deal with it. You never want to get into it. You just don't want to have that coach in that position going through that, especially when you're losing at the rate that you're losing. Because, again, there's going to be an element of change when you come into the SEC. There's going to be an element of learning and adjusting. Because if you've never coached in this league before, you don't understand how difficult it is. That's not the problem. The problem is that coming in and kind of being blindsided to where you should still be working your way up in the college football ranks instead of going from tiny little SMU to boom, SEC school, without really knowing what to expect and knowing how to handle some of the small intricacies that maybe don't get talked about enough. Because speaking at all these events and Chad Morris and doing all those things, coaches hate that. Coaches hate doing those things. They all do. Because they want to focus solely on recruiting and on practices and watching film and all of that. But it comes with the job. You got to do it.
Right.
And so I totally get why people hear that and they say, well, learning on the job, you don't want that, but no, that's just the way it is for sure.
Recruiting Thursday brought to you by Razorback Camper Sales, exit 1 off of the bypass in Hot Springs, where they're celebrating 50 years and it's fall camping season. All remaining 2019 travel trailers, fifth wheels, and pop-ups are at rock bottom closeout prices, including the 2019 17-foot Salem bunkhouse with outside kitchen, power awnings. It's only $14,976 or just $153 a month. Hey, thanks for 50 great years from the whole staff at Razorback Camper Sales, exit 1 off of the bypass in Hot Springs, and online at RazorbackCamperSales.com.
Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Bruce is in Mulberry. What's going on, Bruce?
Well, we're talking about the coaching and the responsibilities. As y'all know, I work for Jim Grizzle Tire. Jim Grizzle always told me that very seldom did they ever have Frank Burrows at practice. That was not his job, was to oversee the practice. That was the assistant coach's job. Frank Burrows coached the coaches, and the coaches coached the players. He said very seldom did you ever see Frank Burrows at a practice. His position coach was Wilson Matthews. And but he said that's the way it was set up, and that's how Frank ran the program. That's why he had so many great assistant coaches through the years. I'll hang up and listen, guys.
Yeah, well, appreciate the phone call there, Bruce. I mean, listen, every coach is different, though. I know that there is certain coaches that had high-level success that you can point to and say, well, they did it this way, so that should be the way it's done. I think there's different ways to skin a cat in coaching. There are coaches that are great administrators and managers. They let their assistants handle it. They hire great people around them, and it makes their team better. There are other coaches that like to treat it like a dictatorship, that they are the number one guy. Everything runs through them, and all their assistant coaches are yes men and do what he says. It's worked. It's successful. It happens. You can have different levels of success with coaching. But the matter is that at a place like Arkansas, though, this type of school is very different, to where you can't just rely on doing it one way or one way of what it used to be. You have to get a guy that can, of course, manage and handle all those things, but you got to get a guy that's a stone cold killer, in my opinion. You got to get a guy that just lives and breathes football and wants to sit there and practice and practice and practice and watch film, do all of that. That's the type of guy that you need. And, you know, again, there's different ways to do it, but I've always felt like Arkansas would be better suited to having a guy that's just that type of mentality, because it didn't work with Brett Bielman when he's nice guy. Chad Morris is obviously trying to get over that hump, but he's struggling right now as it is. The best coaches in Arkansas history were always guys that just were fiery, passionate guys about football and about coaching football. That was their thing. But, you know, you got to – the game's changed too. College football's changed. You know, you can't – you know, before, Tommy – I forgot when we discussed this, maybe last week. But before, you used to have it to where you'd open up the media guide and you'd see 9 assistant coaches and – that was it. That was your staff. A couple GAs here and there.
Yep.
But now you got a guy for everything. Analyst, multiple guys.
An analyst for this, an analyst for special teams, analyst for offense.
And then they have assistants.
And then there's a sit, you know, offensive line coach. And they've got an assistant, you know. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You have like coaching and how managing and all that. It's not like you just manage, okay, I'm going to manage my 9 assistant coaches and then my 85 players who are going to be on. No, there's more than that. I mean, there are so many things going on, and that's why it is so important. I forgot which caller brought it up earlier in the show, but that's why it is so important to have a guy who can manage, be a boss, be a boss of it all.
Yeah.
And because
Don and Greenwood was saying
that's right. Yeah. And because if you can't handle that, or if you don't know how to do that, you're going to fail, because the amount of small details that come into play in all of it, if you don't shore those things up and make sure it's all, you know, in ship shape, you're going to fail.
Yep.
Simple as that.
Yep.
So I get it. Let's get into your Hog update here on the Morning Rush.
Arkansas football. It's the players running through the A. Hog hats. It's more than 70,000 fans calling, "Woo pig suey."
It's a great day to be a Razorback.
Guys, I've got just one thing I want to say to you. Touchdown, Arkansas!
Arkansas wins the national championship!
This is your Hog Update on the Morning Rush.
All right, it is time for your Hog Update presented by Ozark Sportsman Supply.
Hey, that first snap of cold weather is on the way. If you need a Carhartt coat, jacket, insulated bibs, a Carhartt vest, or anything for the working man or working woman out there, they've got it at the Ozarks. So anything you need to make work more comfortable for you in the great outdoors, they can take care of at the Ozarks. They are a full-line Carhartt dealer. They have all the selection and all the collection from Carhartt, so you can go check it out at the Ozarks. Plus, walk on over, check out the other side of the store at Ozark Sportsman Supply for firearms, gun safes, archery, fishing supplies, and the largest selection of accessories in Northwest Arkansas. And don't forget their 15-lane awesome indoor shooting range. It is outstanding. They have upgraded it recently. You're going to find an awesome experience there at the Ozarks. Why go anywhere else? It's all in one place. The Ozarks, Ozark Sportsman Supply, Ozark Outpost Casual Clothing and Footwear, Highway 412 West, barely out of Springdale in Taneytown.
So for your Hog update, this is the biggest news right here. Arkansas will be rocking their red helmets and white jerseys with red pants. Look at Kentucky.
All right.
You pumped?
It doesn't matter to me.
I know it doesn't. That's why I last. I wonder how many people really do like get into that.
I like the red helmets. I've not been a big fan of the white helmets.
I'm with you. I don't like them either.
The outlined red hog. I like the red helmets, but
I don't even mind though.
I mean, you got to wear white on the road.
Yeah, I don't mind the white jerseys and white pants. Like that's fine. But keep the helmet red, man. Just keep it. That's the classic look. Mm-hmm. I'm all for changing some things up, but just keep it with the classic look there. Also, Sawyer Smith looking like he is going to be the starting quarterback for Kentucky. Mark Stoops has not really wanted to divulge who the starter is going to be. He's kept it pretty close to the chest. But when Sawyer Smith was meeting with the media, he says, "I practiced all week. I feel pretty good." I may just be saying that, but looks like he's going to be the guy that you're going to be going up against if you're Arkansas. So be able to be on the lookout on that. So there you have it. There is your Hog update here on the Morning Rush. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Got a lot of phone calls coming in. Ben is in Fayetteville. What's going on, Ben?
Hey, guys. Love the show as usual.
Appreciate it.
The one thing that I think it kind of bothers me, I think if they go in and beat Kentucky, I think this gives Chad Morris a pass on the last 2 years of horribleness. And I'm not so sure that I'm comfortable with that. I mean, are they going to be cranking open Club Dub if they beat Kentucky? After the two horrible losses against San Jose State and then North Texas last year, I don't think beating a beaten-up Kentucky team is really anything to hang your hat on. I know it'd be the first SEC win in coming up on 2 years. But is that something that we confetti Dixon Street with by beating Kentucky? I just think there's a lot more to accomplish. And I just think a lot of people are really comfortable or are going to be really receptive to, hey, we beat a bad Kentucky team with the last-ranked quarterback and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's just, yeah. I think that level of mediocrity is just starting to sink in.
Well, Ben, do you want them to lose, though?
I don't see a way out unless you get a big win. I don't want them to lose. But at the same time, you know, they should have won all these non-conference games the last 2 years. And then when you go in and you steal a game or an SEC road game, as we know, they're not all easy. But then it's a bigger deal. I mean, right now, is it really that big of a deal? This will probably be the only chance that they get to win an SEC road game.
I mean, it's that next step, though, Ben. I get what you're saying. It's not going to make you pumped or, you know, say that you finally arrived, but It's that next step. You beat an SEC team on the road that you haven't done in the past 2 years. So it's just that next step you got to take.
But the next step doesn't cover up the three steps back.
I don't disagree.
From the last 2 years.
I don't disagree. But it's just, you know, you can't change that, though. You got to move forward.
No, I agree. Completely agree. I just wish something would have been done to shake up some of the coaching staff in the off week. Yeah. Put some wanted posters up, you know. Something's got to be done to shake something up. I really expect this Sawyer Smith, after everybody rattling this kid, to probably play like a Heisman Trophy candidate. But who knows?
Oh, yeah.
You guys have fully a good one. I appreciate that. It.
Yeah. Appreciate it, Ben, as always, man. Appreciate you listening in. But no, that's the thing. It's like I get what you're saying. I don't disagree that beating Kentucky just erases the loss to San Jose State. Yeah. I agree with that, but it's also, you can't change that. You got to move forward somehow. You got to take that next step somehow, and this would be the next step.
All right, let's get Bob real quick. Bob, you got about a minute.
I appreciate it, guys. Mm-hmm. Really enjoy your show. I just wanted to just briefly talk about, you know, the hole that we're in right now. We need to never forget how we got here, and we need to, you know, look at history and say in the coaching hires and the changes we made that have put us in this hole. I don't think where we're at coaching wise is going to get us out of this hole. I don't think it put us there. You know, we had opportunities through the years to make some really good hires, and honestly, I think our pride is probably what put us here. We got the big head under Bobby Petrino. We couldn't swallow that pride and say, you know, yeah, you lied over an affair and you know, there may be some disciplinary action, but we'll keep you on board. No, I mean, I remember talking about, you know, people when they let Bobby go thinking, oh, we'll get Bob Stoops or we'll get whoever at the time. Yeah. And that didn't happen. And we wouldn't humble ourselves enough to hire a high school coach from Springdale. And we let him slip through the cracks because he went to Tulsa and then Arkansas State and then on to Auburn. And so, I mean, we just need to remember, you know, where we've come from. And as we look at a new coaching hire, sometimes we need to swallow that pride and realize that, hey, but right now we're a Kentucky-level program, and it's sad.
Yeah.
We wouldn't hire a Tulsa coach, but we would hire an SMU coach. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Well, appreciate the phone call as always, Bob. Listen, just real quick, Arkansas has a knack for always letting great coaches slip through their fingers from the state. That's not going to change.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins, straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
I think the Cardinals winning has put me in a bad mood. I'm just mad about everything this morning.
Come on, John.
I'm mad at some of the tweets I've gotten. I'm mad at some of the things I've seen on social media. I'm just mad. And I think it's the Cardinals.
Let me get you in a better mood about it.
What is this?
It's kind of the Cardinals theme song, so to speak.
Oh, so it's the greatest theme song of all time.
Well, I don't know if it's the greatest theme song of all time, but it's
making my ears bleed.
It's kind of the Cardinals theme song. It's kind of Budweiser's theme song. It'll get you pepped up, you know, make you feel better about it. It's what they play when the Clydesdales come rolling in.
Why do the Clydesdales come rolling in?
Seriously? That's like the big thing with Budweiser. You never seen the Christmas commercial with the
I thought you were saying that they did they not...
And they bring the Clydesdales into the ballpark.
Okay, I have not seen that, no.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's majestic. Majestic is the only word to describe it.
This is not helping me. I'm still mad.
And this is the song they play. It's called Here Come the Kings. It's fitting because they're the 11-time world champions.
Mm.
Does that make you feel better?
Oh yeah. Now I'm in a good mood. Dumb. I hate everything. Hey, Tommy, better quit cancel on that before it starts playing something else.
I got it turned down.
Okay, good. I was about to say, because you never know what YouTube's going to play on your up next
well,
list.
Well, I think it's another version of it, if you want to.
No, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. I've gotten the gist. I've gotten the gist of it all. But
You haven't heard that before in a Budweiser commercial?
I think I've heard the tune, yes.
It's kind of Budweiser's theme, too.
Yeah, but I didn't hear Homer, whoever that guy was, playing it on the organ either. So I
think his name actually was Homer.
Okay, well, perfect. It's either Homer or Jethro, one of the two that I could have thrown in there. So I haven't seen that one, but good grief. All right, this will put me in a better mood. Let's get to your SEC update here on the Morning Rush. That'll put me in a better mood.
Somebody said we've got SEC bias. Deal with it. They're the best.
In the SEC, it just means more.
I know one thing. The SEC just got a little tougher.
This is your SEC update on the Morning Rush.
All right, it is time for your SEC update presented by Ozark Outposts Casual Clothing and Footwear.
Tell you what, we're going to get that first snap of cold weather coming up. You need a Carhartt coat, jacket, maybe some insulated bibs, Carhartt vest. If you're a working man, working outdoors, or a working woman that... you're in the elements all day. They've got all the Carhartt you need at Ozark Outpost Clothing and Footwear. It's a working man's and working woman's paradise. Everything Carhartt you need is right there. Slip on over to Ozark Sportsman Supply right there under the same roof, just to the other side of the store. They got all the firearms, gun safes, archery, fishing supplies, and the largest selection of accessories in Northwest Arkansas. And don't forget to work off some stress in the indoor gun range. 15 lanes of awesome target practice, all in a temperature-controlled indoor environment. Probably even got some Cardinal stuff you can get and send it down here to John as well. Yeah. Why would you go anywhere else? It's Ozark Sportsman Supply at Ozark Outpost Casual Clothing and Footwear, Highway 412 West, barely out of Springdale in Taneytown.
So for your SEC update, I thought this was pretty fitting because of the connection here. But, you know, Missouri is taking on Ole Miss, which I'm sure will be the number one game of the country coming in this weekend. But, you know, Kelly Bryant, the quarterback for Missouri, got injured and has had to battle through some injury and through this injury. And he may not be 100% to go. So guess who's going to have to step up, Tommy, for Missouri if Kelly Bryant can't go?
Who's that?
Taylor Powell.
Yeah.
Former
Fayetteville, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. Purple Dog Pride, forged by Fayetteville, hashtag, whatever it is that they say. But man, I think that'd be at least something to look at if you were somebody who remembers him playing at Fayetteville. He might get his chance to start in an SEC game.
There you go.
Another player that left the state of Arkansas was good enough to play in another SEC school, but maybe not in Arkansas
themselves. They being Missouri, did you see any of their highlights last week?
try to avoid them.
I do too, but they had one. And because I was watching some game, it was an end game, one of these end game highlights they ran, and there went Jonathan Nance for like 64 yards. Just made me want to vomit. I don't know.
Is Akil Byers still there?
I think so.
I think he is too, yeah. They got like all these.
But Nance, it just made me. Well, I mean, for players that don't go to Fayetteville, I get it. For kids that grew up in Fayetteville or even in Northwest Arkansas, that you want to get out of town and go do something else. I mean, that's not just for everybody to go to college in the same town you've spent the first 18 years of your life. I mean, I know you did it and then went seven more to the same school.
Big fan of Fayetteville, apparently.
But that's not for everybody. So I get it.
No, I get. But I mean, you're talking about the Byers kid, though. Arkansas didn't even offer him.
I know.
You know, and you had Nick Saban coming to town talking to him. So I mean, there's just those are the things that just hurt more than anything if you're a Razorback fan, to seeing other guys that you feel like you could have actually had if you would have tried go on to other schools and be successful at. So no, I just thought that was an interesting element that they could be having Taylor Powell be the starter there. I know this isn't necessarily SEC related, but are you pumped for the Red River rivalry shootout, whatever it's called these days?
It's a game you got to watch. It's the one game I'll root for Texas. So
really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Over Oklahoma?
Oh, absolutely.
Why?
Hook 'em.
Why? So you hate Oklahoma that much more than Texas?
The more you live here, the more you'll understand it.
Okay. I get it. I don't know really. I don't know if I'm rooting for anybody in that game. I'm kind of maybe just hoping for a
earthquake.
Yeah, something that where nobody gets injured.
I'm going to root for the refs. How about that?
You would root for the referees. Okay. You're going to be the only one in the country rooting for the
referees. It's hard to root for either one of those teams.
Final segment of the Morning Rush coming up.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.